4. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. I'm teaching a series, and we've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, on how to reap your harvest. And Mark chapter 4, I'm using this kind of as a foundation text. We're learning how to reap our harvest because our harvest is connected to the end time harvest of souls. Now, on Wednesday, and by the way, I've been teaching this on Wednesday as well as Sunday. I don't normally, that's not my normal pattern, but I'm not normal. Sometimes, I mean that in a good way. I want to do what the Spirit of God directs me to do. And I heard the Spirit of God say some things through this message, I believe, that can really, really benefit, really help you. You know, I have a responsibility to you to not just tell you, what to do and why you should do it, but to tell you how to do it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I hear preachers, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, but they never tell you how to do it. So we want to, in this church, not just tell you what you need to do and so on and so forth, but we want to tell you how to do it, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. And Wednesday night, I gave an assignment to the class. In fact, I want to restate some things here because I want you to participate in this too. I believe the Lord's going to do something with this, and you'll find out a little more next week if you come back. How many plan to come back? And here's what I'd like for you to do between now and next week. It'll take you a little time, but not a lot, but I believe it'll benefit you. Okay, here's the first one. Figure out how much you have gave, I'm talking about sown, above your tithe since the first of the year. Now, of course, some of you, may not have been saved since the first year, but figure out, if you can, what you have given, what you have sown above your tithe since the beginning of the year. We're into the fourth month now. Second thing is I want you to be able to write down on a piece of paper. And by the way, this is for you. It's not for me or anybody else's eye. But write down on a piece of paper what it takes for you to operate your household on a monthly basis. You know, we're to pray like the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread is what it takes daily for you to operate your home. How many of you have some bills to pay? Okay. Now, again, the scriptures teach us that our God, my God, your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will meet all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But here's what the Lord showed me. A lot of people don't even know what their need is. They just know they need. Now, we're going to learn that God brings us the harvest, because that's what we're talking about. This is what this is connected to, according to our faith. So, let me give you the rest of these things. Then you need to know your debt load. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have got some debts? You know, you've got some things that you're paying on. And what would it take to pay those off, to get you out of debt? How many of you would like to be debt-free? We serve a God who is a supernatural debt-canceling God. Okay? And then, what are your immediate needs? What do you need in your household today? What do you need? Listen, again, what I'm asking you to do, because I want you to become consciously aware of what you need. Do you need to fix your house? Do you need to add a room to it? Do you need to upgrade your vehicle? You know, what do you need? Did y'all catch that? Four things here. First of all is how much have you given since the beginning of the year above your tithe? And then secondly, write it down. What do you need? What does it take? Like a budget. What does it take to operate your household over the month? You know, a lot of people don't even know those things. They just know bills come in and Money goes out. Are you with me? And then you need to know what your debt load is. And then you need to know what your immediate needs. I know, again, we all have different levels of faith. And we're all believing God for something. But I just try to be practical with you, okay? I mean, we can get real deep in here. And we can get real spiritual and still be a bad witness and be a bad testimony because we can't make ends meet. Are y'all with me? Okay, so I have a responsibility again to show you practical things, or rather how to use the word to apply to your practical life. Money, again, is in the natural earth. But we've got to be able to pull it out of the realm of the earth or the world system into the spiritual realm, or into the realm where we can use it to operate in this earth. Are you with me? Okay. There is no shortage of money. There's no shortage of finances. That's the picture, or that's what the world projects. So we talked about that. And again, I don't want to just tell you to do something without telling you how to do it. Okay. And then let me read the scripture here in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, the kingdom of God, Jesus is teaching, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain of the head, or in the head. And verse 29 says, but when the grain ripens, now look at this, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So we've been teaching you some things, and let me just remind you right quickly, and look in your bulletin, because there's a good outline there for you of just what we're teaching, so you'll have it. We're doing everything we know we can do on our side to get this word to you. And we talked about, we have to understand motive. You know, what is our motive? Our motives have to be pure. Our motives have to be right with God. We're not called just to build bigger barns. Are you with me? So our first motive has to be geared towards souls. It's about people. It's about saving people. Why do we need what we need? Why do we want what we got in this place? It's about souls. Are you with me? Our harvest of finances is connected to the harvest of souls. It takes finances in order to get the gospel out to the whole world. And we're just doing our part. Amen. We can't do all of it, but we can do our part. If you're with me, say amen. So we talked about motives. We said that the harvest is for distribution, not hoarding. We said that the harvest is to minister to the poor and the needy. Now, we've taught all these things. The harvest has to do with our own personal needs being met. Because we are not going to be a blessing until we learn how to flow in the fullness of the bless, or the blessed life, or the blessing that God has for us. Amen? We found out that reaping is not a new Bible concept. It's not just a doctrine of charismatic or word of faith churches. We use the scripture in Genesis 8:22. It talks about seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, it says it will not cease. So it's not something new, but maybe it's new to some of you because you're just now discovering it. It's been there all the way back from the Garden of Eden. Amen. It's all the way through the Bible. And then we found out that reaping is not automatic. You know, sometimes people think, well, just because I'm a Christian now, I've stepped into that flow, but it's not automatic. If you read Mark chapter 4 again, you find out that the sower had to sow the seed. Who gives us the seed? God gives us the seed, but who sows the seed? We do. Who causes the seed to grow? Okay, and then once the seed is grown, who reaps the harvest? We do. Immediately, when the harvest was ripe, he said, he stuck in the sickle and if you will, reaped the harvest. So we found out that we have a responsibility to reap our harvest. We don't want to just leave our harvest out there for it to rot in the field. Are you with me, church? I use Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. It says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. You don't have to turn there, but just let me share these things with you right quick. It says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. We're not called to let our harvest stand in the field and rot. We found out it's our time to reap. I believe the Spirit of God is having us to impart these things so it can become on the inside of us. It can become real to us so that we can benefit from this word that the Holy Spirit is giving to us. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. And just write the scripture down. It tells us that there is still 4 months and then there is everything. There's a season. There's a time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, and a time to plant, and a time to harvest what is planted. So what time is it, church? It's time to go out and reap our harvest. It's harvest time. It's time to get up. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, lift up your eyes, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? So the timing is right. Then we begin to talk about these qualities of a successful harvester on Wednesday night. And you can go back and pick up all these messages, but the important thing is that you get them and listen to them, pray again, let them come and become part of you so that you can apply these things to your life. We're not up here just to give you a good message. We're not up here just to come up with something to tickle you and to make you shout amen and hallelujah. I said the challenge for a message from the Holy Spirit is to be able to stand and deliver it when you're not getting a lot of amens or a lot of hallelujahs. I know I wait for you to say that because that encourages me. But, you know, I want you to be able to get this down inside of you so it'll work for you. Do you believe the Word of God works? Do you believe we have to work the Word? We sure do. So we talked about, first of all, that we have to be a faithful tither. And understanding that we are not sowing seed by the tithe. We have to tithe. And then above the tithe is the seed that we sow. And we tried to make this where you could understand because, again, people are not at that level. They don't know some of these things. But the tithe is not your seed. And the Bible says that when we give the first fruit, or we give that 10%, it is God's. It's holy. Remember, it is sacred to the Lord. And He says that he will rebuke. Now listen to this. He will rebuke the devourer. I told you the devourer is really the literal term for the seed eater. In other words, when you're a tither, that money that you have left over, the 90%. Now listen to this. It is protected by God. When you are a tither, that 90% is protected through your tithing. What you do with that 10% affects the other 90%. How many have ever had the devil steal from you? Well, go back and examine. Go back and pray and see what's going on. Because if the devil is robbing from us, then go back and examine what you're doing with the tithe. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 26:2, I believe is where it is, that the curse cannot come without a cause. When we're not tithing, we open up areas of our life for curses to come and devour us. We talked about that a successful harvester has to be Spirit-led, obedient, and a generous sower. You're not going to sow until you become a tither. You can't just, you know, tithe 1 week or 1 month and then forget about the principles of God and expect the blessing of God to come upon your life. You can't be like what I heard the other day. Some preacher said that somebody sent them an offering of $5 and said, we haven't tithed for a long time, but we're sending our $5 and we want you to believe because we're going to get a new Lexus. He wrote back and said, well, I'm not going to agree with you, but I believe God will give you a used Volkswagen till you learn to tithe. See, that's foolishness. That's nonsense. That's ignorance gone to seed. Amen. And sometimes we don't want to hurt people or we don't want to say the truth. But, you know, we have to speak the truth in love or people don't grow up. They don't learn the things that create the blessing of God and the things that will cause cursing to stay and come upon their life. How many want to be redeemed and free from the curse? Okay, so we have to be not just a tither, but we have to be spirit-led, obedient, and a generous server. And then the third one is that we found a successful harvester knows when, W-H-E-N, when it's time to harvest. And some of the indicators will be that there's joy in your life. You know, some of the indicators are that there's an expectation. We sow in joy. We wait on joy because there's seed, there's time, which equals patience, and then there's the reaping of the harvest. But all this has to be done in joy. We can't get weary in doing well. We can't let, you know, our discouragement overwhelm us while we're doing good. Come on, okay? All right? Then the fourth one, we said that a successful harvester knows where to reap his harvest. Knows where, because it's the same Spirit that's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, that will instruct, if you will, give you a witness on the inside of what to give, when to give, but it's the same Spirit that will show you where to reap your harvest. When we use the example in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 where actually Peter sowed his boat because Jesus was preaching that day and Jesus needed to launch out from the shore so he could preach to the throng, the multitude of people. And Peter didn't realize that he almost missed his harvest. But he allowed Jesus to use his boat. He sowed his boat into the ministry, if you will. And Jesus preached. And when he got through, he instructed Peter and all of his brethren and all of his business associates to get back in the boat and to launch out into the deep. Now, they had already put away everything. We talked about this on Wednesday night. But you know what? Jesus knew exactly where the harvest was located. And Peter almost missed it because he just put down his net. But Jesus said, launch the nets. And when they did the nets, they all received a boat sinking load of fish. Are you with me, church? So the Holy Spirit knows where our harvest is. A successful harvester, and this is kind of where we stop and where we're going to pick up today. A successful harvester will reap all, say all. All of his harvest. But we found out, and this is what I want to develop in you this morning. We develop according, or we reap our harvest according to our faith. We reap our harvest according to our faith. This is why we need to be aware of how much we have given. We need to, if you will, and I'm not telling you to calculate this so, you know, you can say, oh, well, hey, wow. This is to stir you up, to make you realize the potential that's in the seed. Remember Jesus, he used natural things like natural ground, natural farmers, natural planting to show us spiritual things. Amen? Okay, so we need to know how much we have given. What do we give above that tithe? Proverbs, just write this down. Proverbs 27:23, or maybe I should read that to you. It tells us that we are to be diligent to know the state of our flock. Proverbs 27:23, I believe is the scripture I want you to say. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. So when I say we need to be aware of how much we are given, and we need to know, here's the second one, we need to know that we're sowing on good ground. Because Jesus talked about the quality of the ground in which we sow. Because if we sow in good ground, then we have a potential, I said a potential, of a 30, 60, 100-fold return on the seed. The potential is in that seed. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? So here's the other thing. We need to get in faith for that harvest. We need to get in faith that what we sow can produce, and this is why you need to be stirred in that area of the 30, 60, 100. So it just begins to, if you will, begins to boggle your mind so that you can get in faith so that you can receive what you have sown. Because here's the truth, and we're going to get real honest with with ourselves today and ask ourselves, do we really expect to receive from the seed that we have sown? No, I mean, you're saying amen, but do you really expect to receive a 30 or a 60 or a 100-fold return from every seed that you have sown? Now, some of you sitting, somebody say, well, I'd just be glad to get 5%. Well, I think really if we were honest, we don't think of it in that terminology, but yet that's the Word of God. See, I use the illustration, and I'll share this again with you because I believe this is eye-opening to us. It'd be like that farmer that had the 500 acres, and he cultivated, he fertilized, he planted that whole 500 acres out there with the seed, maybe corn or whatever, and he did all the necessary things. He plowed it. He cultivated it, he fertilized it, God gave him rain at the right time, and it came up a bumper crop. And then he goes out there because it's harvest time, and he only harvests 50 acres of the 500 and leaves 450 acres out in the field to rot and let the birds carry off. Now, would that be an effective harvester? Would that be a wise farmer? But yet, again, we can see something here in the natural, but yet to relate it to something in the realm of the Spirit. We reap our harvest according to our faith, not even according to our need. Let me give you these things. We do not reap according to what we have sown. We do not reap according to what we want. We do not reap according to what you need or what you desire or what you think that you need. We reap according to the faith that we can believe God for. Now let me say that. I'm just going real slow because I want you to catch this part because I really believe this is where a lot of us miss it. We think that it's going to come automatically. Let's just pray. Let's just do right. But listen to me. You can only receive from the Lord what you have faith to believe Him for. Amen. The reason, again, that I ask you to write these things down on a piece of paper, and I'll share some more about that next week, is because you reap according to your faith. These things will just stir you up because if we don't have inside of us an idea of what we're believing God for, then what are we believing God for? What do we need? He's not going to supply it because you need it. He's going to supply it because you have faith to believe that you can receive it. Sometimes we don't have the level of faith to receive what we are actually, desirous to have or what we have a dream or a vision to have. Now, we need dream and we need vision and we need goals. But we don't see the potential of what we do and the Word of God working on it to produce because it's God who causes the seed to grow. I tell you what made it real to me, walking down the sidewalk and you see a penny. What do you see? When you see a penny on the ground, most of you won't even stop and pick it up anymore. But if you saw a dollar, you'd probably pick that up. But see, when you can look down on the ground and see that old penny laying there, instead of seeing a penny, see a dollar. Why? Because the penny has the potential of a hundredfold. The penny sown has the potential to reap a dollar. Amen. Okay, so we reap according to the faith that we have. We reap our harvest according to the faith that we have to receive it. If you're lacking, let me just share this a little bit with you. If we're lacking financially or we're struggling in areas of our life, we need to really step back a little bit and begin to pray and to fast and find out, if you will, what's going on. Because we need to press in. We need to understand that God has a plan for our life, not just to take us to heaven when we die, but to live life here in this earth and to live it in abundance. God has a plan for you to get your goofed up life straightened up. Can I just be blunt? God has a plan, you that did not know how to use your finances wisely or to let credit overwhelm you. God has a plan, even in your ignorance, to get you out of debt. If I can be so blunt with you, be practical with you, okay? But again, you know, God has a plan, but we've got to pray and find out how to get into the plan so that we can press into it and receive it by faith. Or in other words, we've got to be able to take it out of the natural realm and get it over into the spiritual realm so it can be imparted unto us. We can't go out and rob and steal and you know, go out and heist an armored truck and get finances. They'll throw you in the hooch cow. Are you with me? God don't you notice God doesn't, when you have a finance, he don't just rain down money from heaven. That'd be funny money. God's not a counterfeiter, okay? We've got to get it out of the world into the realm of the Spirit so it can come back into our hands to be used to benefit not just our personal life, but the whole kingdom of God in the realm of the earth. If that makes sense to you. Okay, so that's what we're sharing, okay? You reap your harvest. Now listen to this. You reap your harvest just like you reap your salvation from God. How did you get saved? You had to believe that God was. You confessed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. How do you know you're saved? By faith. You receive your harvest of finances just like you receive your harvest of healing. How did you get healed? Well, by faith. Everything that we receive from God comes by faith. Everything. Everything that a believer receives from God comes through faith. And listen, we stress faith. We teach faith. We teach the principles of faith. But you've got to know more than just, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to know how to develop your faith. You know, you have to learn how to increase your faith. You need to learn how to build your faith. You can't go to God and say, God, give me more faith. He'll rebuke you like he did the disciples. The disciples said, oh Lord, increase our faith. And what did the Lord say? He said, if you had faith the size of a teeny weeny tiny mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain yourself, be removed, and it would have to obey you. Don't ask God for more faith. He's given you the measure of faith. He's given it to all of us in a measure. But you know what? It's just like a muscle. I said, you just eat donuts and pan dulce all the time and stay in front of the TV, you're going to have some table muscle. But you come and you feed on the Word of God. You come and feed and feast in the things of God. God's going to build spiritual muscle in your life so that when the devourer tries to come, you're going to stand on the Word of God. Amen. And you're going to see everything that you have, your possession, it's protected by God. And God, listen, God wants to inspire you. But not just inspire you, He wants to lead you to your promised land. He wants to show you how to become the head and not the tail. Amen? To become the lender and not the bar. Above and not beneath. All these nice things that we say, but we're only going to receive these things according to our faith. Okay? Now, results come into your life according to faith. Now let me just share some things here quickly with you. I kind of put them in order so we can do them quickly. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Are y'all still here this morning? Okay. Everything in a believer's life is done by faith. The just shall live by faith. It takes faith to please God. Amen. We teach faith. We understand that we have to live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. All these scriptures, all the things that we talk about faith. All right? Now, look at this. Say this with me. Say, everything that I receive from God, I have to receive it through faith. Make sure you write that down. Make sure you meditate on that. All right? Now, let's look at this right quick. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. According to whose faith? Your faith, let it be done to you. Now, your faith comes from God. But it's your faith that has to receive it. It's your faith in God. This is the same principle. It doesn't matter if you're talking about healing, or you're talking about finances, or you're talking about deliverance, because it's God who provides the deliverance. But we have to receive the deliverance through faith. Look at Mark chapter 5. Verse 30, Mark chapter 5. We were over there close a while ago. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus immediately, and let's talk, this is a woman with the issue of blood. I'm just reading some things here. I'm just refreshing you, okay? Most of you have seen these scriptures, and maybe some of you have read them many times. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31 says, but his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith made you whole. Now, who had the healing to give? Jesus. But she had to receive her healing through faith. Through her faith. Are you with me? All right. Mark chapter 10. Quickly, let's look at these right quick, because I want you to see that it's our faith. Our faith has to be exercised. Our faith has to be built up. Our faith has to increase. Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 46. This is about blind Bartimaeus. It says, and they came to Jericho as he went out. Verse 46. And his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. In verse 47, you know, Jesus was going down the street and this guy kept crying out. Verse 48, they warned this blind Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he cried out even the more. And then verse 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now, take note of this. Your faith stops Jesus in his tracks. Jesus is moving by his spirit. But your faith, as busy as Jesus is, let's put it in vernacular, we can understand it, he will still stop and come attend to you if you release faith and call him unto you. Oh, hallelujah. It says, and he commanded him, he called, and then he called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, what do you want me to do? And the blind man said to Rabboni, or Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. See, he asked him specifically what his need was, because the man needed to know what he needed. He didn't want to say, well, just touch me, whatever you want to give me. Jesus said to him, go your way. What? Your faith. Say, your faith. He told that blind Bartimaeus, he said, your faith has made you well. And in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 15. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, and he glorified God, and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Samaritans weren't supposed to worship God that way. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now we see that all the time, right? Somebody gets something from God, they get it one Sunday, and they don't come back for 4. Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. What? Your faith has made you whole. Your faith, your faith, your faith. Jesus said it over and over. Yeah, I've got what you need, but it's your faith that's going to grab it. It's your faith that's going to receive it. It's your faith that's going to get it. What do you need from God? Well, understand, you need to know what you need so you can go to God and in faith receive what you need. Just don't throw it up, you know, and say, whoa, here it goes, whatever. No. You be specific. You understand what you have need of. Well, he's concerned about that. I said, but he's not going to give it to you just because you need it. He's going to give it to you because you have faith to receive it. Well, how do you locate your faith? Because again, everybody in here, in other words, if we had a faith-o-meter, like we have a fuel gauge in our car, and you could plug yourself in on a scale from 1 to 100, what would your faith meter read this morning? Now everybody's been given, if you're born again, you've been given a measure of faith. But you see, that measure of faith starts out on the low end of the scale. You're not getting more faith. You got to do something with the faith that you got. That's the whole purpose behind coming in here and receiving and hearing this word and hearing it. Because he said, if we continue in the word, then are we his disciples. We've got to have a continuous hearing of the word so we can continue to operate in faith. You've heard me say many times, faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing. I said, it's harvest time. The Spirit of God has said, look into the fields, plural, nets, plural. It's time to throw out your net. It's time to cast into the deep. It's time to go out in the field. It's harvest time for the people of God. It's harvest time for the people of God. It's no accident. People come up and say, hey, I need to give you this. Well, that's what we had to come up with a need. I had to calculate what it cost to build those restroom facilities. I had to understand, well, it's going to cost $24,000 and need another $8,000 of this. And God, I'm believing you for $24,000. I'm believing you for another $8,000. I'm believing you for this. See, I just went to the Lord and said, I believe that I receive it. Faith doesn't write a check and say, here's my faith check. Now, faith might write a check, but you put it in your desk drawer until you receive what you're believing for. Don't you write a check and say, well, I'm going to give this to you, and I hope the money comes in tomorrow. Because there are people that do that. But that's not how it works. I said, you have the responsibility to get the harvest. Amen? So, how do we locate your faith? Can you take a few more minutes? All right, Matthew chapter 9. Go right back over there to Matthew chapter 9. How do we locate our faith. Matthew, first gospel, Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse 1 and 2. Now, I want you to see this. Are you ready to see something? Okay. So he got in the boat, chapter 9, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying in a bed. Now, Luke's gospel goes in a little bit deeper, but I want you to see this. And Jesus what? Oh, he saw. Now, notice, Jesus saw their faith. So, in other words, this tells me that Jesus can see faith. Well, you know what? If Jesus can see faith, we can see faith too. Have you ever seen somebody that they were attacked by something or something coming at them and they just went haywire? You can see their faith meter in operation. That's what we're talking about. Faith can be seen. It can be seen by God, and it can be seen by us too. Look at Mark. Go back over to Mark chapter 4. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. Jesus saw their faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. You got it? Say, I got it. Now, this is where they're going across to the other side. It said, now, when they had, Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. I mean, when Jesus says, we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. It does not matter what the devil says. Amen. It don't matter what our circumstances say. It says, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and as he was, it's good to get Jesus in your boat, amen. It's good to get Jesus involved in your family, in your finances, in your body, every aspect, every area of your life. It says in verse 37, now they're going to the other side. What happened? A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. The boat was beginning to sink. Verse 38, and he was in the back part of the sleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then verse 39 says, he arose and what? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said, now here he rebuked the disciples. He'd been teaching about faith all day. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, your gauge is on empty. Jesus saw faith. They had no faith. Well, look at Matthew chapter 14. Hurry with me, hurry. Matthew chapter 14. I want you to see these in your Bible. Talks about your faith. And then Jesus sees the level of faith. We all have levels of faith, okay? I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. It says, and when he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. It's talking about Peter when he walked on the water. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of what? Little faith. Now, I'd say this, at least he got out of the boat, right? But Jesus, when he got in trouble, talking about Peter, he got his eyes off of the Word. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes on the situation, and he began to sink. And Jesus saw little faith. So we can see zero faith. We can see little faith. And then one more in Matthew chapter 15. You're right there. We'll just look at this one because that's all the time we got for it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. It says, and he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is this Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician woman, that came to Jesus. It says, and she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now remember, the Lord will help you. Okay? What do you want? What do you want? And he answered and said, it is not good to make the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Sometimes we get insulted. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. And we go run like a little dog with a tail between our legs. And, you know, we don't come back because they hurt our feelings over there. That pastor was too rough. Those people were not friendly. Hello. And he said, Yes, Lord. Or she said, yes, Lord, yes. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, what? Great is your faith. So we saw the faith gauge go from zero to little faith to great faith. And so, again, what we have to understand is that we receive everything from God by faith. If we're just going to take and we're just going to calculate, oh, what I have given this year since the first of the year, I give the tithe. Listen, we're just going through a spiritless mechanical motion. And just because it's owed to you doesn't necessarily mean you have the faith to receive it. Are you with me? Okay. Now let me just pose three questions. I want to challenge you today, because again, we need to be honest in here, right? If we're gonna operate by faith, if we're gonna receive from God, you know, we've got to be honest with ourselves. You know why? Because there is no shortcuts to faith. And there is no shortcuts with God. Now, we try to deceive others. Sometimes we try to deceive God. But we're not going to be able to deceive God. Jesus sees exactly where your level of faith is at. Are you born again? Well, you got to measure faith. Now, let me give you these three questions here. And here's something for you to think about. First one, what can you truly, genuinely, exactly expect to receive? What can you truly, genuinely, I'm talking about from your heart, I'm talking about today, I'm not talking about sitting in, oh, this faith church for a couple of years and really get strong in faith. Hey, I'm talking about, where are you at today? What can you genuinely expect to believe? Because anybody can shoot their mouth off. And I'm just sharing these things with you because I've heard a lot of foolish preaching in my time. I've heard a lot of foolish prosperity messages. We're not talking about just shooting our mouth off. Yeah, we're talking about, what do we believe in our hearts? Because you're going to receive according to what you believe, and reaping your harvest has got to come from your heart, just like anything else in God. So you need, that's a tough question, isn't it? What can you genuinely, what can you expect to receive from God today? That's something to think about. That's something for you to get honest, real honest with God. And here's the second one. See, remember, a lot of people listen to the preaching. A lot of people shout with you, say amen, but they're not hearing it. It's not going into their spirit. And thus, they don't have faith to receive it and declare it as done in their life. Seed, time, harvest. Jesus said, if you plant it in good soil, it will produce 30, 60, 100-fold. I'll be honest with you, I'm just trying to get up to the level of 30-fold. And the only reason I calculate out what I've sown, just so it can stir my faith to say, my goodness gracious, how much have I left my harvest in the field? Is your faith, here's the second one, is your faith developed enough to reap your harvest? Now be honest. Don't expect to reap if you have not sown. Don't fool yourself. Hey, somebody said, well, it's dangerous to preach like this on Sunday morning. Well, if I don't preach like this on Sunday morning, you ain't going to get it. It is foolish to think that you're going to receive the fullness of your harvest if you are not a faithful tither. You've got to sow before you can reap. Right? Okay. So you need, these are just, I know these are tough things. But these are practical things. It's like the guy, you know, sending his $5 offering and said, well, the Lord convicted me, I'm going to start giving again. Would you believe for me for a new car? Well, that's stupid. Do it for a couple of years and then let's believe. Let's do it through the good times, the dry times, and the in-between times. So, is your faith developed enough to reap your harvest? God is bringing us to a place of maturity in these last days. We're desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. Amen. Even on Sunday mornings. And then here's the third one. Where is your faith located today? In other words, what is your level of faith? Let me close with this scripture. Look at Psalms 131. Let this enter into your heart today. We're taking the first level. Amen. How many of you believe in God for some great things? See, I'm telling you, it's taken me several years. It took me several years just to get the understanding that I'm teaching you today. Because there's things, even now, beyond my level to receive it. Psalms 131 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. That's a word for prideful. Did you know it's pride to ask God for things that you don't have faith enough to believe Him for? I'm going to go on this side. This side's really thinking. I said, did you know that that is a form of pride to believe God for something that you don't have faith to receive it? He says, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound or too difficult for me. There are things, even at my stage, even at my point, I have to believe God for my personal life. I have to believe God for the church. I had to believe God to pay this building off. I had to believe God to supply. I had to come up, what will it take? Oh, it takes X number of dollars. I believe that I receive it. I believe I have $24,000 faith. But I didn't start there. You follow? I believe for $30,000 faith to buy equipment. I believe I receive it. I challenge you today to get to a place. See, it's easy to say, oh, will you agree with me? Yes, Pastor, we'll agree with you. But what if you have the responsibility to see it happen? See, what are you believing for in your personal life? Hey, and we're not here. We're not here to condemn anybody, are we? We're not. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, not the condemning. If you're at the level where you want to borrow money to get something you want, nobody's going to condemn you for that. But don't you think I have a responsibility to show you there is a better way? See, I have declared that if my faith won't get it, then we won't have it. I don't know where you are. I don't know where your level of faith is. But you're going to have to receive everything in your harvest by faith. Now, Wednesday I'm going to pick up there because I'm going to talk about really how we locate our faith. What is indicators of where our level of faith is, because you need to know that. I told you I want to give you a step by step. I want to tell you how to get there, what to look for. I want us to bow our heads a moment. Is that okay? Y'all didn't end on a shout or anything, but that's all right. That's all right. I wasn't looking for a lot of shouts today. I was looking for attentive ears, fresh ears, because I believe this is an important time for your life. And I know there's a lot of need in the church. I know there's a lot of situations in some of your lives. But all this is connected. You need your marriage healed, it's going to be received by faith. Just like your finances. You need salvation this morning, you're going to have to receive it by faith. I told you this morning that it's not just being a good person. It's being a redeemed person that's going to go to heaven. And so while your head's bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed, just a moment. Let me